With over 500 high-performance products in the EvoStick range, you may need a bigger van. EvoStick, the strongest adhesives you can buy.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's EvoStick NPL show. I'm your host, Ben, and this week we're going to be looking back at all last weekend's results in the NPL Premier Division. We're also going to be catching up with the management at Lancaster City, Hensford, Hyde United, and we're going to be talking to broadcasting legend from Cumbria, John Walsh, on that big game this weekend between Workington and Northumbria United. And also, we're going to be talking about Mark Carruthers with Mark Carruthers. The actual Mark Carruthers, the one, the journalist guy from the Northeast. He's got a fixture preview later in the show. But before that, and you just heard him giggling at his own midweek mistake on social media, he's James Hayes, social media man for the league. Hello, James, how are you?
I'm all right, Ben. It's been a busy week in the league, so.
More on Basford shortly, but where should we start, James? It's been hectic. I tell you where we can start. Let's start with the big news this week, and that is the nominees for this season's EvoStick NPL Show Supporters Award. The news broke on Thursday evening, and let's have a reminder now of the nominees. Yes, dear listener, it's that time of the year once again when we all gather round our radios and find out who's been nominated for this season's EvoStick NPL Show Supporters Award. And the nominees are Chris Almond, Prescott Cables.
A potent force in the cable strike line this season, the 32-year-old has helped keep Prescott in the promotion race with his goals and currently sits on the top of the West Division's goal-scoring charts.
Joe Lumsden, Tadcaster Albion.
After making the commended list last season with Stocksbridge Park Steels, Joe makes the top five for this year's awards, following an impressive season with the Brewers scoring 22 goals in all competitions so far this season.
Tunde Owolabi, Radcliffe.
The strong forward has instantly become a bit of a cult hero at Radcliffe after joining in the summer. And with 18 goals to his name, Tunde has certainly played his part in making Radcliffe a serious promotion contender this season.
Alistair Wadicar, Bamber Bridge.
This is Wadicar's second nomination for the Supporters Award in 3 years, with the Briggs midfield general playing a pivotal role in Bamber Bridge's step up to the NPL Premier Division this season.
Nathan Watson, Basford United.
Newly promoted Basford United have not been afraid to score goals in their first season in the Premier Division, and Nathan Watson has certainly scored his fair share and is currently the lead goal scorer in the league.
A big congratulations to all the nominees. Voting for this year's shortlist is now open. To register your vote for the EvoStick NPL Show Supporters Player Award, please visit the official league website. That's at www.evostickleague.co.uk. You have until 11:59pm on the evening of Sunday, the 17th of March, before the voting window closes. You can only vote once, and TGOT does check, so bear that in mind. And the winner will be announced at the League Awards evening in April. A big good luck to everybody. Thank you for listening. So, James, those are the nominees, and an eclectic mix, and not the big boys up at the top end who've been shortlisted.
Yeah, I mean, it just shows the quality this league's got, that it's not just the top five.
No, I'm not letting you get away with it. Why aren't players from Warrington, Farsley, South Shields, Nantwich, Gainsborough and Scarborough in the mix? Where have they gone?
Well, obviously, you have got the Nathan Cartman and two Warrington players in the commended list, so they have been mentioned.
What about Morpeth? Where's Morpeth?
They've got one in the commended list as well. Look, it's not always about the goal scorers,
What we're trying to say is that this has been a fair process, hasn't it? It's been done by.
Yes, indeed.
Just to let everyone know, disclaimer: I've had nothing to do with this, so don't blame me. lots of journalists, lots of media people involved with the league. And representatives from each club have come up with this shortlist, basically.
Yeah, indeed. So at least it's the fairest way we can do it, rather than having, say, everyone just vote for their favourite player. Because, again, no disrespect to South Shields, Scarborough, Morpeth Town, who get the more fans, but it would be truly unjust if someone like that, say, against someone from Mickleover, Market Drayton or Widnes. So it's the only fair way we can do it, and that's it works every year. And I think we've obviously to find the replacement for Julio, you put on Julio Arca this year as the champion.
I think it's a very good list, and shows just how much everyone likes strikers. No goalkeeper again, unbelievable. Anyway,
in fairness, you have got Lee Overton in the commended list as well. So
right, well, when that commended list is available on evostickleague.co.uk, and as we just said there, make sure you only vote once, because James is on this and he's very good at it. So a big good luck to everybody. And as we said, voting closes a week Sunday. So get on it. But as we also said, vote once. Right, let's talk about the results from the Premier Division. Like we said, we are going to be hearing from the management at Lancaster, Hensford, Hyde. We're also going to be hearing from John Walsh. And we've got a fixture preview later with Matt Carruthers. But the title race now, James, it is looking like a two-horse race. I think we could say that, can we? Maybe not. We've still got a game in hand. It's 8 points the gap now between first place Warrington Town and South Shields in third position. But South Shields, like I said, do have that game in hand. Good result for Warrington on Saturday afternoon. Mickleover Sports 1, Warrington Town 4. Leaves Mickleover Sports now 3 points inside the relegation zone, with Stafford Rangers having a better goal difference, in all fairness. Farsley Celtic, they needed to respond. Farsley Celtic, though, were beaten by Lancaster City by 2-0. That said, they did bounce back on Tuesday night, beating Workington by 2-0. So a mixed bag there for Farsley Celtic. We'll get your thoughts in a second, James, but let's have the post-match reaction now from Tuesday night. Here's Adam Laitland, manager at Farsley, speaking with their in-house media team.
Was pleased with that result?
Very pleased. I think the main thing tonight was just to, you know, get the 3 points, and I thought it was a great performance. I've been baffled why they're still down there. You know, I mean, I think we reduced them to very few chances, which was testament really to our defending. You know, I thought we defended very, very well. We were very organised, very solid. Didn't really give them an opportunity to get a foothold in the game. They had a chance in the first minute, actually. I think it's clipped the outside of the post. But they've got some good players, you know. Lad up front, you know, very experienced, good player. Connor Tinian, for me, is one of the best players in the league. I think he's got so much ability. But, you know, we're a good side, and the important thing was that we responded today, and I thought it was a great performance. Very solid, very organised, very disciplined, very controlled. Played good football at times, mixed it at times, and thoroughly deserved the win.
And you mentioned you're surprised we're working tonight, the second from bottom, but there were real tests tonight, weren't
there? They were, yeah. As they were when we went up there earlier in the season. You know, I watched them a couple of weeks ago against Witton, and they were the better team. Until they had a man sent off, they missed a couple of chances, and then the second half, it was a difficult game for them. And they are a good side. I mean, they're running out of games. I'm surprised that they're not out of it yet, because, as I said, I think they have got some good players. But every game's difficult in this league. You know, we went to Lancaster on Saturday. We weren't anywhere near where we needed to be second half, and we got beat. And if you're not quite at it against any team in the division, then you can lose. So it was a tough game, and we had to be at it for the full 90 minutes, and we were, and we deserved the win.
Yeah, you mentioned Lancaster there, 2-0 last Saturday, so good to bounce back from that.
Yeah, you know, every time we've been beat this season, we've bounced back, and that's all you can do. You know, it's a tough league, very demanding. Every team poses you challenges, and you're going to lose games. It's just the nature of football. It's why we love it so much, isn't it? You know, but so much credit to my lads. You know, every time that we have a bad result, we win the next game, we bounce back, and that is all that you can do, and credit to them for that.
Yeah, you've gone on to a few good runs this season, but a bit of inconsistency at the moment. So, for Keane, I'll just take confidence from this win, try build momentum, and go on a good run again.
Yeah, absolutely. We need to, you know, keep the pressure on and keep trying to win games of football as we have done all season. I think I said it after the game on Saturday, you know, you're entering a stage now where so many teams in the division have still got so much to play for and fight for, and that makes games even harder. You know, there's a bit of pressure and a bit of anxiety on all teams, you know, on us tonight to win and keep in touch with Warrington, and on them to obviously get a result to try and get the way out of the relegation zone. So every game has got meaning, but that's the way that we want it to be. You know, we don't want to be a team that's got nothing to play for with 9 games to go. That's not why we play. You know, we play to be involved till the end, and you know, we expect every game to be just as difficult as that one was tonight.
Hide away on Saturday. What are your thoughts going into that game?
Another tough game. They're a good side. Obviously got promoted last season. I think they, you know, they'll still think that they've got an outside chance of getting in the playoffs. So we expect a very difficult game. But we go down there and it's obviously artificial surface. A good one, I believe. I've been, but I've never actually stood on it. You know, and if it is a decent surface, then hopefully that will help us get our game going. But we anticipate a very difficult game and one that we'll get ready for as we do every other one.
And a big thank you to Fazer Celtics media team. That was Adam Lakeland there speaking following Fazer Celtics 2-0 win over Workington. That's the game in hand done and dusted. The gap is now 1 point between Warrington Town and Fazer Celtic, with Warrington currently on the summit of the league. James, is it a two-horse race or can we still keep South Shields involved?
I'd call it a 2.5-horse race at this moment in time, purely because, again, we've seen what's happened with South Shields in the last couple of weeks. It could easily happen to Warrington or Farsley. Or again, with the playoff race, which is starting to open up a little bit now as well.
For South Shields, it was a 1-0 draw with Buxton, which has seen Buxton. Buxton's had some good results. A 2-1 win for Buxton as well on Tuesday night against Nantwich. Sees Buxton now 5 points from the playoffs with a game in hand. We obviously heard from Paul Phillips a couple of weeks ago, but if Buxton keep that up, We might have to invite him back on the show. But Lancaster City, some good results in recent weeks. Lancaster City 2, Fazer Celtic 0 from Saturday afternoon. Sees Lancaster City hit the big 4-0. Now 40 points on the board. That's 8 points from the relegation places. So it seems like a good opportunity to welcome back to the show. Here's the manager at Lancaster City. Here's Mark Fell.
Yeah, I don't think 40 will be enough. I think it's fairly universally accepted that 40 points with some of the sort of teams that are down there picking up points as they've gone and sort of going in peaks and troughs of form, it won't be enough. But the fact that we're there, based on, you know, the fact that we were five points in October and now we're on 40 is testament to the lads really and the work that they've put in. We haven't had a huge changeover in terms of playing staff, so they've worked really, really hard to get themselves in the position they're in. And with eight games to go, if somebody had said to us in October you can get on to 40 points with 8 games to go, we'd have snapped the hand off. So yeah, we're really pleased with how it's gone, and we know we're not quite there yet, but we've taken some big strides towards that safety barrier. I think is probably around 46 points.
And one defeat in ages, and that was Buxton. And it's there's obviously been draws in that, but it's getting the results, and that's the most important thing, isn't it? Being difficult to beat.
Yeah, one defeat in 10 for us. Two defeats since the turn of the year. So yeah, we've been really pleased. Probably too many draws than we'd have wanted, but it's still putting sort of points on the tally all the time and keeps the scoreboard ticking over, if you like. So from that perspective, we've been. I mean, the worst bit for us, I think, is when we review and analyse the games that we've had. I mean, we conceded last minute against South Shields, last minute against Stafford, last minute against Bamber Bridge, so last minute against Warrington. So there's potentially sort of 4 stoppage time equalisers that we'd had. If you'd have put another 8 points onto us now, we might have been challenging for the playoffs, never mind looking over our shoulders at being safe.
Absolutely, and but there was no slipping up on Saturday. A fantastic result against Farnsley Celtic, proving, and it has been a cliché term, but all the managers have been saying it, so I'm going to be no different. There is no easy game in this league, and you know, Lancaster there, a fantastic result. You must be dead pleased.
Yeah, I am, and we played really well. We had to contain a little bit first half and stay in the game, but we were resilient in how we played. And what we did from there was we took it to them second half. We opened up a little bit, scored 2 brilliant goals, sort of great cross and finish type goals that we'd worked hard on in training. And we were good value. And to be fair, Farsley, they sort of accepted that we were good value for it as well. So it's nice to get that sort of respect from other clubs. And I don't think anybody wants to play us at the moment. We're a dangerous side, I think, at the minute, especially for those teams that are sort of up and around and might just tighten up a little bit trying to get in the playoffs or trying to go for the title. So we're looking forward to going to the likes of Scarborough and sort of having Nantwich come to us. And for us, it's a chance for us to play our football and have no pressure and sort of see where we go. But we have definitely turned up that little bit more and shown that little bit extra when we've played those teams that are up in the top five or six.
So based on what you said earlier, roughly you need two wins or six draws or a combination of the two. So when do you start to think about, because you are going to have a good run-up towards next season. So when do you start thinking about that and planning for next year?
Tomorrow. So we start tomorrow, and that's true, because we've got an off week this week. We don't play. Just the way the fixtures have fallen. So we're taking it as the opportunity for me to get sort of my staff together for a full day's work tomorrow on next season. And that's not us jumping the gun. That's not us, you know, trying to foresee what might happen. But I think if we didn't start now and consider every eventuality in our planning, we'd be behind other clubs. So we're going to do that work starting tomorrow. I'll then go to the board and report back to them on our plans. And we try and get some middle ground in terms of budgets and ways of working and all those sorts of things. So we have to start early. We have to start our recruitment early as well, because we undoubtedly do want to bring in a couple of players to complement the side that we've got. But it starts on the premise of us being safe tomorrow. But we still know in the background that we've got to get some points on the board, and that will start when we go to Hyde on the Saturday after.
Matt Fell joining us on this week's Evo Stick NPL show. Nearly job done, I'd say, there for Lancaster, hitting 40 points now.
Normally would say yes. However, like we mentioned last week on the show, the fixture lists down the bottom end are really not favourable for some of the sides. So it is, again, who can they pick up the points like they did against Fowler Celtic? I think one more win like that will see them safe.
There's a few teams who've been involved in the relegation battle making moves in recent weeks. One of those sides is Hensford Town. Hensford Town 2, Grantham Town 1. Hensford Town bursting through the 40-point mark now. They're on 41 points, sitting in a much more comfortable 13th position. Is that job done for Hensford Town? There's only one person who'll know this. It's Nicky Eden, manager at Hensford Town. Let's hear from him now. So, Nicky, a big thank you for joining us. And Hensford Town now breaking through the 41 points barrier. It's not quite over the line yet, but it's a lot more comfortable than it was a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you're always looking over your shoulder when you're down the bottom. But, you know, obviously, it's been a strange season for the club. And obviously, coming in just in the new year, kind of get the lads' existing squad a chance, but, you know, we lost four games on the bounce, so we had to do something. We've had big overhaul of the squad, and obviously then you never know how long it's going to take for the team to gel or, you know, to bed in. But it seems to have seems to be coming together a little bit, you know, and obviously with the three games in a week, you know, I mean, you're kind of looking, and with two home games, you're sort of almost optimistically, you're sort of thinking, well, can we get 7 points out of nine? You know, you don't want to think, can we get nine out of nine? Because you kind of think, well, you know what football's like. You know, there's always something to trip you up. But obviously, get three wins in a week and three real good performances as well. You know, we've looked solid. We've, you know, and we've looked a threat. So obviously, it makes things a lot more comfortable. But straight after the game, you know, I said, no game, obviously, this week. I said, you know, get yourselves rested up, ready to go again, because what I don't want is the season now just to, you know, kind of fizzle out a little bit, you know. I said, you're kind of playing for next season now. You know, you're playing for, you know, if we want to keep you, you know, and if you want to stay at the club.
I mean, I was going to ask you about that, because obviously, you know, it's like I said, it's not quite over the line, but you're into that realm now of 40-odd points, so a few more wins before the end of the season, and I think we can safely say it is job done. Three straight wins, like you say. So when does your mind start to turn towards next season? Because, you know, you've had to chop and change on the hoof. It looks like you've got a good squad together now where you can go and beat the likes of Hyde United and Buxton. So what's your thinking now towards the end of the season and next season?
Well, I mean, between now and the end of the season, I said to the players, we want to win as many games as we can, you know, because it kind of puts a marker down then that, you know, if then we can manage to keep that squad together or the bulk of it and even add to it, then, you know, people are straight away be looking at you thinking how we finish the season off, and hopefully then you carry it on into next season. But I won't really start thinking about next season until we've got this one out of the way, to be honest. You know, it's not like you've got loads of players under contract, you know, so there'll be a lot of movement in the summer for all clubs, you know. So I'll not even start thinking about that till we finish this season.
And news breaking as well towards the end of this week, and that is a local consortium coming on to assist taking the club forward. I mean, that's been up in the air for the last 12, 18 months or so. So that will give a bit of stability for the club as we head towards the end of the season and beyond.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Steve Price, the chairman, I think he gets real, you know, from what I can gather, he gets real unfair press. Maybe over the past couple of years, he might not have been able to put the time and energy that he wanted to into the club. But I think, you know, you sort of see he's got a bit of energy back about him. There was the owner football club model came in, and I think that just spurred everybody into action, really, this local consortium. You know, so I think Steve's going to stay around in the background to help keep the club stable. And then it'll be a case of, you know, can this new consortium take the club forward?
Obviously, no game this weekend, but all eyes turn to next Saturday when you'll be hosting Nantwich Town at Keys Park, and that then is on towards the running. So just your final message then, Nicky, to the supporters as we head into the closing stage of the season.
Since I came in, and especially since we've sorted the team and the squad out, we've gone into every game looking to win it, and that's what we'll continue to do. You know, like I said, I don't want the season to fizzle out by any means. You know, I want to keep just... Listen, every time you step on that pitch, you should want to win that game, you know, regardless of your league position. You know, that's what we'll be aiming to do between now and the end of the season. But we know we'll have some tough tests along the way.
Nicky Eden joining us here on the Evo Stick MPL show. Hensford Town then, James, are they safe? 41 points.
Again, I think more so than Lancaster. Yeah, the job's done there and they have got the favourable fixture list coming up. And plus the facts as well with... speculation around him in the last couple of days with certain media off their backs now. They can concentrate on the job done. And again, with the games that they've got there, you'd expect them to be safe now, realistically.
That's Hensford Town and Lancaster City moving into the mid-table pack now. Dropping down slightly is Stalybridge Celtic. Stalybridge Celtic were beaten on Saturday afternoon by Nantwich Town by 4-2. Stalybridge Celtic remain 7 points above the relegation places, though, as the clock is ticking on Mickleover Sports, isn't it? It's all right saying that this gap is there, but teams are running out of road. But Mickleover Sports, 7 points behind Stalybridge Celtic. They do have a game in hand. So Nantwich Town there with 3 points against Stalybridge Celtic. It was needed because, as we said, on Tuesday night, finished Buxton 2, Nantwich Town 1. So South Shields on 64 points. Nantwich Town now also on 64 points. South Shields do have 2 games in hand over Nantwich Town, though. Also in the playoff positions, Gainsborough Trinity. And they've opened up a 4-point gap over Scarborough Athletic as well. It finished on Saturday afternoon. Gainsborough Trinity 2, Bamberbridge 1. So, and at the same time, for Scarborough, they were being beaten by Witton Albion by 2-1. So, what do you think of that, James?
First of all the predictions were right last week. Gainsborough Trinity, they found the form at last. They get it. This is what we've been saying all season long. If they can find this form, they will be a playoff side. If it started earlier, they would be right up there in the title fight. But now they've got that little bit of an advantage over Scarborough and they're going to make it work. But again, what was I saying before about Buxton? A couple of weeks ago, you could say it was them two for the last playoff spot. They both got to start looking over their shoulder now because you have got the likes of Buxton and potentially even Hyde, who got a late run.
Hey, let's talk about Hyde then. Hyde United beating Workington on Saturday by 2-1. Very difficult to go up to Derwent Park, but Hyde United did it on Saturday. I'm going to suggest the weather conditions weren't the best. I think it was chucking it down, wasn't it? Quite moist, wasn't it, underfoot, let's say. So Workington 1, Hyde United 2. The gap now between Hyde United and Gainsborough Trinity in the playoffs is 9 points. Hyde United do have a game in hand. Who can we go to discuss what's happening at Hyde United and can they get into the playoffs and can they get a run going to get themselves towards the playoff positions before the end of the season? There's only one man I know, is Darren Kelly. So, Darren, a big thank you for joining us. And
pleasure as always.
It's great to have you on. And obviously, we're into the running. And you know, some managers and some clubs have signed off for the season now. Hyde United still involved. I mean, a great result at Workington on Saturday. I mean, what's your take on where Hyde United are heading into the last month or so of the season?
Yeah, we're still challenging mathematically. If I'm being honest with you, Ben, we're not thinking about it. We're just focusing on each day, each game as it comes. We've a very tough game tomorrow, Farsley. We've a few players down due to injury and things like that. So we're trying to get a couple of over the line for that. But you know, our boys have been amazing. You know what, they've given everything to the season so far. And as I say, we've had, you know, academy players come in over the last number of weeks. Well, all season really, but more so now, and they've been exceptional. So, yeah, we want to finish the season on a high. We want to take each game as it comes. And, you know, even if it's mathematically impossible to sort of get into that playoff area, we don't want the season just to finish. We want to make sure, because we want to build something in terms of next season as well. So we want to keep, you know, momentum of winning, if you like. And hopefully we can do that tomorrow against what's going to be a very, very good Farsley team.
I'm looking at the league table, and I know what you're saying, but Hyde United are only 5 points now behind Scarborough Athletic, and Scarborough being in the playoffs all season. There is going to be a couple more twists and turns. You must be encouraged that you've managed to keep not close contact, but mathematical contact with the likes of Gainsborough and with Scarborough as we do head into March.
And that's been the key, you know. But you know what, the other side of that, we haven't really built any consistency over the season. You know, there's games, you know, at home we lost. Again, I don't like to look back, Ben, but you look at it and you think, do you know what, games we should have won, but for whatever reason we didn't. But you look at games and points that we should have maybe had, and if we had got them, I think we would have been in there, you know. But that's by the by, really. But I mean, you know, the thing about it is we've got Gainsborough coming up, we've got Farsley twice coming up, with games in there that are going to be extremely tough. And yeah, you know what, if we come, I think if you get 4 points against Farsley and you beat Gainsborough, I think you deserve to be in there, because they're top sides. But we're not getting too ahead of ourselves, you know. We'll focus on Farsley tomorrow. So as I say, they're a great side. We do our due diligence on the opposition, which, you know, we went and watched them this week, and they're a good side. And it'll be a tough ask, because as I say, our young boys, I just want them to come in, enjoy it, and express themselves. And you know, Farsley, to be fair to them, they're a team of men and good quality players. So I just want our boys to go out and give it their very best, and hopefully it's enough.
And you touched upon something there, which you know, I've been looking on from afar, and yourself and Hyde United have been on a journey in the last few seasons. And like you say, 5 academy players on the pitch finishing that game against Workington. A first senior goal there for Paddy Lane as well. So you know, you have been on a journey, and that momentum and that progress being made both on and off the pitch at the club is developing quite nicely at Hyde.
Yeah, it is. Do you know what? That I keep going back to it, as much as I don't like going back, but I go back to when we first came into the club, and it was sad times. But I feel through what, as a club, what we've sort of gone through in the last 3 seasons, I think we now have that feel-good factor back. You know, it's a family environment. It's a good environment. And everybody, you know, you look at the games on a Saturday, and you go into the social area after, and you're seeing everybody, and there are lots of smiles and faces. And you know, on the pitch, it's been good this season. You obviously were the promotion last season. This season, you know, it was really go and have a good go and see where we end up. And you know, irrespective of anything, I think as supporters, you know, I've seen the sort of journey and how the good times, you know, are coming back, and they've got the smiles in their faces, and they're behind the team. And it's great to see, you know, because they know the hard work that goes in on the training ground. They know the hard work that goes in off the, you know, going and doing your, you know, preparing the team, recruitment, scouting and all that. And And the thing about it is, it's you know, they're right behind the players, and you know, when the supporters see that, you know, the players, when they cross that white line the Saturday or the Tuesday night, when they see that they're giving their all for the jersey that they're wearing, that means a lot to them, and they get right behind the teams. And it's been great the last three seasons, and you know, the challenge is now is to keep it going and keep pushing upwards.
And those fans are going to be needed in the next few weeks. Three home games in the month of March. This is all off memory, by the way. Farsley, Lancaster and Stafford, with South Shields at some point as well away from home in the middle. Those home fans and the travelling support are going to be very, very much needed.
Yeah, they've been amazing this season. They've been absolutely brilliant. To be honest, they've been brilliant since I've come in the door. To be quite honest, you know, they get really behind the team. They get really behind the club. You know, you look at the volunteers that be down. You look at Saturday. You look at tomorrow. They'll be there. There'll be a good crowd there. And you can rest assured on Sunday morning, you know what, the volunteers will be down. They'll be tidying up. But it's great. It's a real family club. You know, you have people getting right behind the club in every way. And it's fantastic to see. And I've absolutely no doubt, and I said every week in commentary, you know, the fans get really behind them. And tomorrow it'll be the same again. They'll be right behind the team. They'll be encouraged and they'll be helping. They'll be cheering. And especially as young players that we have in the team, that you know, that encourages them. That gives them confidence. And it's brilliant to see.
Darren Kelly, manager at Hyde United, joining us here on the Evo Stick MPL show. Can Hyde United do it, James?
I don't see why not. Again, in the running, favourable to a fixture list, and they are picking up the points now after, a dreadful Christmas sort of period. They've got back on their feet, Darren Kelly's got back on form, and they've got the players to be able to do the job. But again, they can't really afford to slip up at this moment in time.
So we've got chasing Gainsborough Trinity down. We've got Scarborough, 4 points from the playoffs with a game in hand. We've got Buxton, 5 points from the playoffs with a game in hand. We've got Hyde United, 9 points from the playoffs with a game in hand over Gainsborough. Then we've got Baysford, and that leads us on to our next piece of news. And as we alluded to earlier, a result on the weekend, Whitby Town 4, Baysford United 1. Following that result, it was announced that striker Liam Hearn has been appointed as interim manager at Baysford United following the departure of Martin Carruthers this week. Of course, we've had Martin on. He's a cracking guy, a cracking manager, and we send our best wishes. Vice Chairman Tom Brookbanks, I've heard that name before, he takes up a new role as Director of Football at the club. So all change at Baysford United. Well, for more now on Baysford United, we're now joined by the new interim manager at the club. Please welcome to the show, Liam Hearn. So, Liam, a big thank you for joining us and welcome to the show. It's been quite a whirlwind week for yourself. What's your take on it all?
I suppose it's just football. It's unfortunate. I've had a lot of respect for the gaffers, and they brought me to the club. They've done an amazing job over these 6 years. I think in a sports term, you just... show must go on, I think. And the chairman has asked me to do a job until the end of the season. He's given me a good network around me and freedom to go and get my own ideas across. I've got Tommy Brookbanks mentoring me. And I've got Michael Leslie and Dominic Roma, who are both experienced. Michael Leslie in terms of Baysford and the way we run, and Dom of experience in management and as well as being a teammate. So I feel that we've got good enough ideas and experience and people around us to hopefully do a good job till the end of the season.
I mean, Tommy's been involved with the club for a while now, and what he did in his previous management job at Colville was superb, in all fairness. So that level of experience is going to be worth its weight in gold, I feel.
Yeah, especially for someone like myself, a young aspiring coach, quite new to it all. Although I've been coaching now for 3 years, it's baby terms in the sense of how long people actually be a coach. Having someone like Tom able to mentor me and learn from and bounce ideas off is going to be invaluable to everything what I'm trying to accomplish as a coach. Kev Wilson, a previous manager of mine, he's also been there at the moment and offered his support and his wisdom, which is great. And then I've also got Russ O'Neill, who's at Guiseley, who sent me nice messages and who's also going to be there for me. So I feel I have some really good managers who I can bounce ideas off and also put my own ideas across, and hopefully things will work out good for me.
I mean, as a footballer, you've been around the Nottinghamshire East Midlands football scene now for years. So you've got a level of experience and expertise yourself.
Yeah, and I'm an observer. I love analysing things and dissecting things. It's just in learning from people. I'm a big believer in just sometimes when you're in a room of people, just try not to speak and just listen and observe and take things in. And that's something what I've always done in my career and something what I'll continue to do. It's nice that I can start implementing my own ideas and what I've learned. I think the lads are taking to it. And I'm also quite fortunate because I work in the academy. I'm able to implement ideas with the academy lads and see how they pan out, see how sessions pan out, and then kind of try and implement them or put my own ideas across, or even other people's instructions and feedback, and hopefully that will benefit the first team.
Now, before we get to tomorrow's match with Buxton, just a couple of things we need to mention. I mean, Nathan Watson had been nominated for Supporters Player of the Year.
Brilliant.
He's been, I mean, to be fair, Baysford have not had a problem in scoring goals this season. I think we can all safely say that. And he's certainly played his part.
Yeah, he's massive for us. He's such a great talent. I think he could play a lot higher. And I think it's unfortunate that he hasn't experienced that before. But again, big games, he's turned up. He scored a great goal on Saturday. And I think he'll continue to do well. I hope that everyone gets behind him and votes for him and he gets the votes he needs, because I really believe that he deserves it. And I also feel that he's in with a shout for the Golden Boot.
Now, while Baysford have been scoring a lot of goals, you have been conceding a fair few as well, and you've been in the transfer market and you brought in Brad Gascoigne from Barwell. What's he going to bring for the season running?
I think he's going to bring more of a presence. I know Brad. He came on trial at Mansfield when I was there in Alfton. He signed at Alfton when I was there as well, so I know him quite well, and I know that he's dominant in the air. He's a good athlete. He's strong. He's competitive. And I feel that he's going to bring just an extra bit of height, an extra bit of experience at this level, which we need. He'll run alongside Steph and Lewis Carr and Dominic Roma. So I start to look at the back four and I start thinking that we're starting to get a look about us, where I know that teams will look at us and think they're not going to enjoy playing against us. You put Liam Bateman in that. We've got Kieran Keane, who's currently out injured, but he's got a wealth of experience at this level in the Conference North. And I think once Kieran's back, and then maybe bring someone else in if we can, I start to feel that defence will soon get the confidence, start keeping clean sheets. You've got Soldini behind them, who's vastly experienced, and then the midfield in front of them, who have got so much ability. So I'm not worried in the slightest. I think if we can work on things and we can tweak things, I think we'll be strong.
Buxton tomorrow, a big day for yourself, and I spoke to Liam King at Gainsborough Trinity a few weeks ago, and they've really gone on a great run since and found themselves in the playoffs. We're entering the home straight now of the season. You've got two games in hand over Gainsborough. The gap is 10 points. What do you think can be achieved at Baysford in the month and a half left of the regular season, do you think?
To be honest, I'm not really thinking about that. I've just come into the job. It's to start thinking about playoffs and thinking about what can be is a bit too ahead of us at the moment. I think all we need to do is focus on Buxton. They're on a really good run at the moment. They're going to come here full of confidence. They know we have been conceding goals, so they're going to try and exploit that, no doubt. So we're just preparing for that. We're just hoping that we're together. We've been preparing all week, and if our preparations are right, we can make way for a really entertaining game on Saturday.
Well, Liam Herm, interim manager at Baysford United, a big thank you for joining us on this week's show, and we'll speak to you soon, my friend. So Baysford United are 10 points from the playoffs, but they do have two games in hand. Witten are 11 points. It's an outside bet, but they've got two games in hand as well. Stranger things have happened, but sending our best wishes to Martin Carruthers. Right, let's talk about a couple more results. Stafford Rangers 0, Marine 0. Marine now 7 points from the relegation places. Still a bit nervy for Stafford. They're 3 points above Mickleover Sports. But Stafford, they keep they're difficult to beat, aren't they? They're not getting the wins as many as they probably would like, but they're three games unbeaten now in the league, and that follows a good run of games where they've been unbeaten. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Only been beaten once in 8 games, Stafford Rangers, but still not moving away from those relegation spots. And one final result from the weekend, Matlock Town 1, North Ferriby United 0, sees Matlock Town up to 45 points now in the league table. North Ferriby United, well, James, they're taking on Workington this weekend. Where are we up to now with permutations?
It's out of North Ferriby's hands, realistically. It's basically the next point of drop, that's it, it's game. Or, again, if Bamber Bridge and Stafford can get wins over the weekend, they're down as well. They put up a fight against Matlock, watching the highlights from that game. And again, like we said last week, they've not exactly been rolling over and letting teams dominate them.
So, for more now on this big match tomorrow afternoon between Workington and North Ferriby United, we're joined by the welcome return of broadcasting legend from BBC Cumbria Sports. It's Mr. John Walsh. Hello, John. How are you?
Hi, Ben. How are you doing? All right.
Oh, I'm all good. I'm all good. How are you, more importantly? Because this is getting tense, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's for the first time. Yeah, I'm an eternal optimist, but with good authority, I thought that we would get out of the. I thought we would struggle early season. I mean, I didn't see any surprise in the fact that we struggled. I've mentioned it before when I've been on Ben about the lads who were having operations and another one retiring. I thought we would struggle early doors, but I thought some of them came back and we picked up, we would pick up and get out of trouble. But it just hasn't happened. And that's been the major disappointment of the season, because I think we're better than second bottom, but you're only as good as the league table shows. And although we've played some good stuff lately, we've had some good performances, we haven't won the games. Other games where we've played well but haven't got the result. There have been other games when we've been poor. I wasn't there on Tuesday. At Farsley, I've had a bit of a chest infection. I've been coughing like a sheep on turnips, Ben, but I wasn't there. But what I've heard supports the fact that that was one where we just weren't going to win. You know, it was just one of those performances that left Lee Andrews, very, very disappointed. So tomorrow, North Ferriby, God bless them, look as if they're going down. It's who goes with them. We certainly don't want to go with them. I'm sure Michalova, Stafford, Bamber Bridge, whoever are down there, are thinking the same. But we haven't got we put those three away wins together. You know, we're promising, but the home performances, you can't. Ben, tell me this. How can you win three games in a row away from home without conceding, and at the same time lose three at the home without scoring a goal? I mean, that was our recent form.
I think Workington's always had good home form, and it's partly due to geography, but, you know, they've always had it. And obviously there's this weekend's match, then there's next weekend against South Shields, of all people.
A contrast, yeah. Different game altogether.
Yeah, and then you've got Nantwich, but they are home games. And if you can get the home form right, that's always been Workington's strength. So if Workington or Michalova, anyone can get the results, as Hensford and Lancaster proved in recent weeks, you get yourself out of there. But that's easier said than done.
Yeah, easier said than done. One of the problems with Borough Park at the moment is it's very heavy. I mean, we used to make a joke of it the season before last. We, you know, it was really heavy. And a lot of claim. We did quite well in it. Teams who came up here looking to play a bit of football, which we like to do normally, but we used to call it sticky tacky football, because it was. So we were pretty good at sticky tacky. But at the moment, when you know, we really need to be good at sticky tacky, we're just not doing it. Although, to be fair, as I said, we have played well enough in certain of these games to have got points, but to finish with nothing, I mean, it just makes it even harder to swallow, really.
There's going to be a fair few twists and turns yet before.
Yes, I think that's right, Ben.
And the best place to keep abreast of everything that's going on at Workington is certainly BBC Radio Cumbria, and updates available on Saturday, John.
Yes, I'm down there tomorrow. I've recovered. I said I didn't go to Farsley because of this chest infection, but yeah, I'm back among it tomorrow, and we'll be it'll be Carlisle and Barrow on our frequency. We'll be the main 90-minute commentary. They'll be coming to me for every 10 minutes or whenever there's a goal to keep us up to date with what's happening.
There are some questions that I need to ask you. You'll have to forgive me, John, because I'm a metropolitan type. What's the sheep eating turnips?
I had several uncles who were farmers, you know.
Ah, okay, right.
And it's a phrase I can hear from one of them in particular, years and years ago, when, you know, you put the sheep out onto turnips. They're in a turnip field eating the turnips, and how they respond and the cough. It sounds like a cough, and it's an awful cough.
Okay.
And that's how I was coughing like a sheep on turnips. But that's one to remember.
Good tip, everyone. So don't let your sheep out on a turnip patch. BBC Radio Cumbria's John Walsh there speaking to me on Friday afternoon. So, James, in the past, on Thursday night, any bits of housekeeping before we go?
Again, just one vote and one vote only.
Oh, good.
That's all I can say.
So, evostitlead.co.uk for your voting needs for this Supporters Player of the Year. A big thank you to James and all the media pundits and fans who've helped get that shortlist together. Cracking work every year. We'll always take it for granted. But there's five players been nominated there. And do get voting and vote once. And Mark Carruthers joining us shortly for a fixture preview. But James Hayes, social media man for the league, you have a lovely evening, a lovely weekend, and we'll speak to you next week.
No, it's been. Thank you very much.
Well, Mark, a big thank you for joining us from the North East Non-League Football Show. But it's now time to do a good old-fashioned fixture preview. First thing we have to ask you, because you're from the North East, South Shields.
Yes.
Are they still in the title race, do you feel?
Just. I think they're at the stage now, and I think they've even said it themselves, that they can't afford to drop any points. They're going to need to go the rest of the season winning either every game or, you know, certainly the vast majority of games. But then you're relying on teams above, you know, Warrington to drop points and Farsley to drop points, and I can't really see them doing that too many games looking at the fixtures they've got left. But, you know, there is still hope. South Shields do traditionally end a season well. They do tend to eke out results at this stage of the season, and one thing I've learned over the last 3-4 years of covering them, you can never rule them out. So I think when you look at the squad, there's plenty of experience there, so they're not quite out of the race yet, but it's certainly not in their favour, and they are requiring snookers.
So South Shields this weekend are travelling to Michelover Sports. Michelover Sports desperate for a win. At the same time, a bit further up the table, Farsley Celtic travelling to Hyde United. That's good. That's a tough game, that one, for Farsley. Whilst Warrington Town are taking on the draw specialist Stafford Rangers, who just refuse to get beat at all. They just draw. And that's doing enough to keep them above the relegation spots at the moment. Firstly, let's talk about that Michelover Sports match for South Shields. That's a tough one for South Shields. And it's getting towards the stage now where we're talking about, you know, Michelover Sports. This is a must win because they're running out of road.
It is, and you know, there was an interview done with Graham Fenton last week where he spoke about Michelover, and he said, you know, they give us one of our toughest games of the season at Mariners Park, and I think it was 3-2 to South Shields in the end, but they were given a real fright by Michelover, and he paid tribute to the way they play football. You know, they try and get the ball down and pass it and play out from the back, which kind of in a way should play into South Shields' hands. But I think it maybe gives them a bit of a fright because they've been kind of used to clubs going a bit more direct in the league. But it is a must-win game for Michelover, and I think, I've got to be honest, I think South Shields will win. I think they'll get the win because they need to, and they're very good at getting wins when they need to get wins, unless they come up against an inspired goalkeeper like they did last week against Buxton. But I think this one, I just think South Shields might have a little bit too much. It won't be easy. It may well be a narrow sort of 2-1 or a 1-0 or a late win or something along those lines. But I think they will get the win. But there's no doubt, as you say, Mickleover's need for a win is arguably greater than South Shields. So that's why I can't see South Shields running away with the game. I think it will be a close one, but I think they will just edge home.
And what about that Warrington Town match? Warrington, I've got a one-point lead over Farsley Celtic. No more games in hand now for Farsley following that midweek win against Workington. For Warrington, they're taking on Stafford Rangers, and a cracking stat, got to keep using it, from the Stafford Rangers management team. Stafford Rangers have lost less games this season than Basford United, which I quite enjoy as a stat. This is going to be a tough game for Warrington.
With this one, you know, Warrington, you look at the form that they're in, and it just feels a bit relentless, and they're going to difficult places and getting wins, you know, or a draw at Nantwich, for example, which you would look to that one. I can imagine that result coming in when South Shields were playing, and you're thinking, or Farsley for that matter, that this could be a one where Warrington slip up, but they didn't. I think they were unbeaten since they lost against Scarborough. So they're in a great run of form, which is eight games ago, I think it is. But they just don't look like slipping up. And I saw them at South Shields a few weeks back for that game, and they kind of just ground out a win there. They held on at the end. South Shields were pummeling them and putting balls in the box and just couldn't get anything. There was some great defending. And I think when you're going to win a title, or you're challenging for a title, that's the sort of thing you have to do. You have to get the results in a way that you maybe aren't used to getting them. And I think that could happen again here with Stafford, because it's a great start that you've just said, but I still believe you are where you deserve to be in the table at this point of the season. No one has that much bad luck over a season. Stafford, I do think, are better than the league position suggests, but they just haven't done what they had to do this season. So I think Warrington will win this one. And I've got to be honest, I think they may win it quite comfortably.
And at the same time, Hyde United will be hosting Farsley Celtic. And we had Darren Kelly on earlier. And obviously, Darren's downplaying the idea that Hyde United can get to the playoffs. But, you know, they're there or thereabouts. And the fact that I'm still interviewing Hyde United in the middle of March, they've still got something to play for. This is going to be tough, this, for Farsley Celtic.
It is, yeah. I think it's 9 points they've got to make up on Gainsborough, isn't it? Hyde, they're in eighth. It is a big ask again, because, you know, Hyde could realistically win every game they've got left this season and still not make the playoffs, because you're relying on teams above you dropping points. It is a big ask, but I guess knowing, you know, the way Darren is, he's quite a positive character from the couple of times I've interviewed him. He will keep them going until it's mathematically impossible. So I think that will make this game even tougher for Farsley. That said, Farsley have got a lot of quality. We know what they're aiming for this season throughout the remainder of the campaign. I think this one will be a draw. So I think I'll sit on the fence and say 1-1 in this one.
And let's talk about the big game beginning with B as well. Basford United against Buxton. I mean, we talk about Hyde United there with that 9-point gap. Hyde United do have a game in hand, but so do Buxton. And Buxton are a bit closer. They're 5 points off Gainsborough Trinity. Basford United, obviously Liam Hearn coming in there and Tommy Brookbanks as director of football. There could be a new management bounce. And stranger things have happened. I mean, it is 10 points and they do have two games in hand, Basford.
They do, yeah. It's a strange one, isn't it, when new managers go in, because you've got the same group of players, but all of a sudden they're maybe doing something that they didn't do for the old manager. It could be new ideas. It could be, you know, some players have, not that I'm speculating here, but, you know, maybe didn't get on with the previous manager or didn't agree with certain things, and all of a sudden they've got a fresh look at the game. And I've got to be honest, I think Buxton will go there and win. I quite fancy Buxton to sneak into the playoffs. Just when you look at the quality they've got in the squad, particularly going forward, and I think that will get them all 3 points in the game. I think they'll win that 1-3-2. Going to go for a high scoring game.
And we've got Marine against Scarborough. Actually, it feels like Marine have played Scarborough about 15 times this season. I don't know why that is the case, but probably just my imagination. But Marine against Scarborough. Marine not quite out of the woods yet. Scarborough, they need to get some wins, don't they? Because we've discussed, there's a posse of teams clamouring behind them, and Gainsborough are starting to drift away from them.
The danger is when you lose, when you're going for something like the playoffs, or when you lose momentum at this point of the season, it's very hard to regain it again. And that feels like what Scarborough have done. I mean, looking at the form guide, obviously lost last two games against Witten and Mickleover. But even when you look further back, they've dropped points everywhere by the look of it. and it is difficult to turn that round. If you look at Marine, they're kind of obviously a different situation in the league, but in similar form, they had this great run and then lost against Wigan and drew against Stafford. But again, I think I say this every time I come on, and I apologise for that, but Marine always seem to put a run together at this point of the season to take them away from that, you know, the bottom three and four. And because of that, I think, and because they have got better recent form, they will get a win in this one.
The teams that have been on a run at the moment have obviously been Hensford and Lancaster City. They've done a remarkable job of getting themselves not just away from the players, but leapfrogging over Marine in the process as well. That means that some teams have to replace Hensford, Lancaster City towards the bottom end. One of those teams is Bamber Bridge. This weekend, they're taking on Whitby Town, knowing that they're 4 points above the relegation zone, with Stafford Rangers, Michelover Sports and Workington a bit further back, all having games in hand. We talked about that stat before about Stafford Rangers losing less games than Basford. Bamber Bridge have also lost less games than Basford, but crucially, Bamber Bridge have drawn the most games, 12 games drawn. So they do get the odd result, and they are difficult to beat, obviously, but they are, they're, like I said, 4 points above the relegation zone. Another team who it looked like job was done a couple of weeks ago was Grantham, but Grantham have, like we said, because Lancaster and Hensford have got themselves away, Grantham are now 17th. 6 points, admittedly, from the relegation zone. Michelover and the like do have a game in hand. Grantham are travelling to Witton Albion this weekend, and Witton are one defeat in five and two defeats in seven. So not the kind of team I'd be wanting to play at this moment.
Not at all. And the one thing during that run is, you know, barring those two defeats, I think in the five wins, they've only conceded one goal as well. So they're clearly solid defensively, barring when they played Buxton and Basford, obviously. But yeah, Witton, I just can't see them losing that one for the simple fact they are in such good form. The confidence is flying. I think 18 points from the last 10 games is a great run of form at this point of the season. Mm-hmm. So I can see, you know, a Witton win by a couple of goals there.
And one last fixture to talk about for this weekend, and we've already heard from John Walsh from a Workington perspective from BBC Radio Cumbria. Workington against Northferbie United. Northferbie have got 9 games left. That's a maximum of 27 points. Gap to safety and Stafford Rangers, who've got a better goal difference, we should say, as well, is currently 25 points. So this could be curtains for Northferbie this weekend.
Yeah, statistically it could be, and mathematically, but I think everyone's known for a long time now that they were relegated, but I think there's bigger issues at Northferbie than you know what's happening in the league. It's desperately sad, and again, I say this about them all the time, but some of my fondest memories were watching Northferbie play. You look at the FA Trophy final win and the way Billy Heath got them through the leagues, and it was it's genuinely sad to see what's happening there, and I just hope the supporters, you know, will stick with them, and hopefully at some point we'll see Northferbie coming back up the leagues and they will get back from this, but it's a long road, and you know, just hope it does happen. But I don't think we'll get anything this weekend. I think it'll be a working win.
One game on Tuesday, South Shields against Marine, a very poor game that for both sides, but for different reasons, obviously. But for more news on South Shields, as well as all that's going on in the Northeast when it comes to non-league football, where's the best place to go, Mark?
Well, I would say probably the Northeast non-league football show. It's a bit of a news on the show, actually. We're it has been going out live between 5 and 6 on Mondays, but we're actually moving to a 2-hour slot now because it's been so well received. So it'll be on Nova Radio Northeast, which you can find online and on stuff like Google Home, things like that, via the TuneIn radio app. So we're going to a Monday night between 8 and 10. First hour, we'll be looking back at the weekend's action, and then the second hour we'll be looking ahead to the midweek fixtures and the following weekend's fixtures as well. So it's great to see that the station have entrusted us with you know a bigger slot, a bigger time slot. We have two special guests this weekend, including John McDonald, who is working the Euro Stick with Morpeth Town. He's number 2 to Nicky Gray there.
And just before we go, Mark, there's a new book out, and it's been a long time in the coming, but it's out now. How could what is the book, and how could people purchase the said book?
It probably feels a lot longer you know, for me writing it than it did for people waiting for it. But yes, celebrating the 40th anniversary of the Northeast first FA Vars win, and going through the 12 teams that have won the Vars from the region. It's called Northern Goal. It is one story from one player or manager from every winning side that the Northeast has had. So there are current Evo Stick sides in there, like South Shields and Morpeth Town, that their wins are celebrated. Whitby Town as well, supporter Harry Dunn, who's a real character, about when he led them to the Vars final in 1997. The profits from it will go to two charities. One is the Motor Neuron Disease Association. The other is the If You Care Share Foundation, which is a suicide prevention charity that I'm an ambassador for up here in the Northeast, but it is a national charity. It is priced, the digital version's out at the moment, I should say. The print version will be out in the next 2 to 3 weeks. The digital version is £7, available from Amazon. And the print version will be £10.99. That will be, again, available via Amazon with, again, I'll say it, all profits go to the two charities. So please go out and buy it and get it from Amazon and make as much money as we can for the charities.
And that, dear listeners, is the end of this week's show. A big thank you to Mark Carruthers for joining me this week. Also, special thanks to the media team at Farsley Celtic and all my guests this week for joining me. Remember, you can keep up to date with all the latest goings-on from the world of the Northern Premier League by visiting the website evostickleague.co.uk. And while you're on the internet, you can also follow the show on Twitter. That's at NPL Show. But I've been Ben, and wherever you're going this weekend to cheer on your Northern Premier League side, make sure that you have fun. Bye-bye.
Fantastic adhesive this sticks like. From Evo Stick.
Yeah, it's incredibly strong.
And it even works on wet surfaces. Pretty impressive.
Did I tell you my lad's playing in the Evo Stick League this year?
The Evo Stick League?
Yeah, Evo Stick are the new sponsors of the Northern Premier League.
What position does your lad play?
Goalie.
You'd better put some Sticks Like on his gloves then.
Especially when it's wet.
Sticks Like adhesive from Evo Stick. Proud sponsors of the Evo Stick League. For details of your nearest stockist, search the App Store on your iPhone for the new Evo Stick app.